I'd like for us to begin today, and if you would, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate you. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living, he shall praise you, as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known your truth. I believe the point that is made here is very clear. The dead cannot praise God nor celebrate God. It is only those who are truly living who can praise God and can celebrate God. So with this statement in mind, I would like you to turn with me to the book of Psalm 88, and here, let's read some things from King David, what he had to say on this particular topic. David was advanced in his age at this time, knew he was going to die, and makes some very interesting statements that I think from his statements here, we can take and we can apply into our lives, and hopefully we can learn some mighty principles about God and about how we're to be praising Him and celebrating Him and worshiping Him and just learn what we need to be learning here. In Psalm 88, verse 1, O Lord God, my salvation, I have cried day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear into my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, for my life draws near unto the grave. He knew that he was close to death, physically dying. Now with that in mind, going down now to verse 9, and let's pick it up there. My eye mourns by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands unto you. Will you show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Selah, think about this. Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? Now, before we really get any further into this topic, whatever that topic is going to be for today, since we haven't really declared which way we're going here, I'd like for us to go to another scripture. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So, brother, I think it's clear. We can understand from God's word that it has been appointed that we will not live forever in this flesh and blood and bone body. And I don't know about you, but personally, I find that very, very comforting that we're not going to have to continue on in this physical existence as we are today forever and ever and ever. The point that I'm trying to make here at this place in the sermon, in other words, the point I'm trying to make right now, is there is a time coming when we will not be able to praise and celebrate God. And I believe that is something that all of us can agree upon. A time has been appointed that it is coming that we're not going to be able to do that. Now, keeping that thought in mind, let's go back to King David. So go back with me to Psalm 88. And I want us to reread these verses 9 through 12 once again. Verse 9, mine eye mourns by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands unto you. In verse 10, will you show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of the forgetfulness? Now, David just made some incredible thoughts in the form of questions that we can take and we can look at and we can learn about how to praise God. We're alive. We're not in the grave. We can do this. And David kind of just gives us an outline. There are other places, but I'm just looking at this one place. It's an incredible, interesting, awesome study to learn how to praise God. There are times when people say, well, what all does it entail? Well, what all does it entail? We could go through the pages of the Bible and page by page by page by page, verse by verse. In a lot of places, we can see ways to praise God that we don't even think about, that we don't even focus on. Here, David put some things in a 1-2-3 order if you look at it in that way. So let's take a look at this. Let's look at what David is saying to God here through these four verses. Seems so simple, seems so elementary. But we're going to come to conclusions and we're going to ask some questions at the end of the sermon. So let's see some points at David having here being alive. He's making the points verse by verse. So let's start in verse 9. Psalm 88 in verse 9. My eye mourns by reason of affliction. In other words, he says, I'm crying out to you because I'm sick. I'm dying. I understand that I'm on my deathbed, as it were. And then he says, Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands unto you. And so we see a point of praising God here. I call upon you daily. David is saying something along the lines, I'm heavily paraphrasing it, of course, but it's along the lines of, if I am dead, if I'm in the grave, I cannot call upon you daily. I cannot praise you. I can't even be calling upon you if I'm dead. How can I do that? And no one can. Now, you may want to put a marker in Psalm 88 because we're going to come back and forth, back and forth. But let's go down to Psalm 100. In Psalm 100. Psalm 100 in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Listen to this. Come before his presence with singing. David just told us that one of the things that he says, I can't do if I'm in the grave, is I cannot call upon you. I cannot come into your presence on a daily basis. So here we see one of the ways that we are to be coming before the presence of God. This is we are to be making a joyful noise. And it seems pretty clear to me that we are to come before God's presence, and we are to come before God's presence with a glad heart, with singing, and with being joyful. And it doesn't say that this is the Sabbath. It's not isolated to being just the Sabbath. This verse does not say daily. It simply says, come before his presence with singing. It doesn't say daily. But let me ask you a question. Again, you don't have to answer the question because I know the answer you're going to give if you gave an answer, and that would be, what day do you not want to come before the presence of God? Is there ever a day that you don't want to come into the presence of God? And the answer is, of course not. We always want to come. We want to come daily before the presence of God. And here we see some things of how we're to come before God as we have this opportunity, as we are on this side of the grave. We are to make a joyful noise. We are to come and we're to serve God with gladness. And we're to come before his presence with singing. And again, just as a question, when was the last time that you just sang out to God and just told him how great he is and how awesome he is and how wonderful he is, and there was no one around? Or when was the last time you did any of these things and there was someone around? See, that's the point. Daily, we can come into the presence of God, and we can come with a joyful noise, with a glad heart, and we can sing and praise God. Whether there is someone there or whether there's someone not there, God is there and you are there. When was the last time you did that? David was dying and was longing for his days, his physical life to be extended so that he could do these things. That's the point. That's the point that I'm making here as we look at Psalm 88 and verse 9. I think that is some of the things that David is saying. That he wanted to come. I call upon you daily. And if I'm dead, I can't do these things. We're not dead, and we can do these things. So let's go back to Psalm 88. In verse 9 again, David is telling God that he, David, wanted, desired to come before God on a daily basis. And then in here in Psalms 100, in verses 1 and 2, it tells us how David wanted to come into the presence of God. Joyfully, with a glad heart, and singing to God, praising God in that way. Let's go on now. Let's go back to Psalm 88 and verse 10. We're going to go through these four verses. This is what I was saying. This is what we're going to do. In verse 10, will you show wonders to the dead? He's asking God a question. God, are you going? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Now, think about this. And he's not, you know, please understand, he's not asking a question here, is there going to be a resurrection? That's not his point. That's not his focus. He's talking about people who are dead in the grave. Are they going to rise up and praise you? And the answer is no. Is there a resurrection? Of course. Is it going to happen then? Yes. He's not dealing at that time. He's dealing with right now. See, David understood, no, they were not going to do that, because David also understood the principle, the Bible principle, the dead know not anything. David understood that. And David understood that he, dead in the grave, was not going to be able to see any more of the wonders of God, nor be able to show anyone else the wonders of God. And so here in verse 10, I see two separate points. I see two very important points. One is the dead cannot show the wonders of God, nor be shown the wonders of God. And then we'll look at the second point in just a moment. But let's take a look at some verses here. Let's go back to Psalm 9. Psalm 9 in verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwells in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Sing praises to the Lord. Go out, tell people about the doings of God, about the wonders of God. When was the last time that you told somebody about how awesome God is? About the wonderful things that He's done, the wonderful things that He has accomplished, or the wonderful things that He is yet going to accomplish. See, David is asking this knowing that he's going to have his physical life is going to cease. And so he's asking God. He said, how can I praise you? How can I come into your presence daily? Are you going to show the wonders to the dead? And he answers, of course not. They're dead. The dead know not anything. And in dead, I can't show others your wonders either. That's what he's getting. That's what he's talking about here. Psalm 96. Let's begin in verse 2. Psalm 96 in verse 2. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Oh, show forth his salvation from day to day as the opportunity arises. While we're alive, show forth to others the salvation that God has. And you do it from day to day. As the day occurs, as the opportunity is there, as the blessing we have comes upon us. One of the simplest ways, brethren, one of the simplest ways to tell about God's salvation is to talk about the plan of salvation through the holy days. If you work for the man, and you got to go in, you got to tell him, I got to be off for these holy days. Do you look at it as something that is, woe is me, please, you know, I'm sorry that I got to get off these days, but I got to go to this church event that's going on? Or do you go in and say, let me declare the salvation of the Lord to you? I don't mean to use those words. I've seen a day on my mind, you know. I'm not saying do that now, but... You know, I went into high school one time, went and told the principal I was going to be gone. And he said, well, you can't be gone. That's during, you don't understand. Oh, yeah, I can be gone. I am going to be gone. It's not a question of if, it's a question of why. You need to be asking me why. And he said, okay, why are you going? So I told him what it was. I don't know that I'd do it exactly like I did then because, you know, but anyway. I think it's an approach. I think it's an attitude. There are people who have come to me in times past, in years past, and said, I can't get off of this holiday because my boss won't let you. And I went, he doesn't have a choice. What do you mean? He can't let you. He's not going to let you off. He doesn't have the choice. God has commanded. And then, of course, that tends to intimidate the church member who's intimidated by his boss. And so he doesn't know what to do then. And so you have to tell him what he has to go in and do. You know, it's not a question. It's a, I am going to be. You know, you're declaring the salvation of the Lord day by day when you do this. You know, are you looking at this as I might lose my job? Or are you looking at this as I'm declaring the salvation of God day by day? Or is any day that arises I have the opportunity? It's how you focus. It's how you look about it, how you think about it. Think about it more so in that positive point of view. Verse 3, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. Anybody who's willing to listen to it, tell them about the wonders of God. How awesome this being is. Verse 4, because the Lord is puny. Is that what it says? Because the Lord is great. This is why you do it, because the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. All that are worshipped as God. They're not gods. It's only God is God. If we're dead, we can't do this. We can only do this if we're alive. We can only do this if we're alive. And that's what David is saying. Still under verse 10, I told you it was 2 points. The second point is the dead cannot arise and praise God. I want to look at several verses under this one. There are literally dozens and dozens that would go along with this. I just want to give you a few of them in a relatively short period of time here. Psalm 99, verses 2 and 3. Psalm 99, verses 2 and 3. Verse 2. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise your great and wonderful name, for it is holy. For it is holy. Psalm 100 in verse 1 through 4. We read the first couple of verses of this. And verse 2 says, and serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Verse 3, know you that the Lord, he is God. Brother, if we actually think about it, I mean, I know we know it academically, but if we really know it with our being, if we really know it with our mind, with our heart, with our very being, if we really know that God, he is God, the Almighty, our Father, the ever-living one, he is God. And we can talk about it. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. When you come into his presence, yes, even on the Sabbath day, we're to come in with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's what the Sabbath is to look like. This is what we are to be doing when we come together. This is what our Sabbath talk is to be. Well, what are we going to talk about today? Well, I'll tell you, the answer is God and then all the ramifications of it. How did God bless you this day? How did God show his wonders to you this day? How were you used to be able to tell others that they were blessed by hearing the word of God this week? That's coming into his presence. That's coming into his courts. That's being thankful. And that's being thankful unto him and blessing his name. Psalm 108, beginning in verse 1. Psalm 108, beginning in verse 1. Oh God, my heart is fixed. Is our heart fixed? Could you put your name there? Oh God, my heart, and you put your name there. My heart, Ben Faulkner's heart is fixed. Could you put your name there? I will sing. I will give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto you among the nations. If we're dead, we can't do this. Only the living can do this. Let's go on. Psalm 111. 111 in verse 1. Praise you, the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. That's here. 112 verse 1. 112 verse 1. Praise you, the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. Psalm 113 verse 1. You're getting the pattern, right? Praise you, the Lord. Praise, O you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I don't think this is something that is just to be casual and ho-hum. It keeps going on and on and on. We as the people of God are to be praising God. We are to be celebrating God. If we're dead, we cannot. Only the living can do this. Psalm 9:9. Verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all your marvelous works. Verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwells in Zion. Declare among the people his doings, his works, what he's doing, his righteousness, everything about him. Verse 14. That I may show forth all your praise at the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation. Only the living can do this. The dead cannot. We can go on and on with these points, and I know that you get the point to what we're saying here. The living and not the dead are to be praising God. So let's go back now to Psalm 88, and next verse, 11. Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave? Or your faithfulness in destruction? Are those who are dead in the grave, can they understand this? Can they tell others about it? And the answer is, of course not. Just like with verse 10, there are two different points that I see made here in verse 11. One point is God's loving kindness cannot be declared from the grave or by the dead. And the second point is, God's faithfulness cannot be declared from the grave or by the dead. It's only the living that can do this. And so as David is asking God these questions, it is rhetorical question in the sense of, he's asking these questions and he knows the answers, and he's kind of pleading and saying, extend my life that I can continue to do this. So let's see some passages about these two points. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 1. Unto you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. What is the last enemy? Death. If there's no more enemy, and there's no more death, then God can continuously be praised. And we can continuously, all, we, everyone, lift up our soul, trusting in God. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which trespass without cause. Verse 4, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. They have always been. Your loving kindnesses, it has always been present. We cannot tell others about the loving kindnesses of God if we are in the grave. Only the living can talk about the loving kindness of God. Psalm 36 and verse 7. Psalm 36 and verse 7. How excellent is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. It is because of the loving kindness of God, it says, that men will come to the place that they will put their trust, it says, under the shadow of God's wings. You remember when Jesus is talking about Jerusalem and he's crying over the city and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." He said, "Don't you understand that you kill the prophets and you've destroyed all the things that are righteous of God? Don't you understand that I would have like a mother hen reached out and pulled you underneath me?" You know, it's a very tender, it's a warming, it's a comforting feeling, it's a thing of hope. It's a thing of really being blessed. And it says, it is because of God's loving kindnesses that we can do this, that we can even put our trust in God, that we allow Him to do this. Has nothing to do with, you know, this is because God is this way, we trust God to allow this to happen. And what Jesus' comment was, and he says, "And you would not. You wouldn't let me do that. Why? Because they did not focus on the loving kindnesses of God." I don't know. Maybe it was because there were not enough people alive telling about the loving kindnesses of God. I don't know why. What I know is, Jesus said, "And you would not. You wouldn't allow me to do that." And here's the reason that he could do that. Psalm 40 and verse 10. Psalm 40 and verse 10. "I have not hid your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation." I'm not holding it in. This is what he's saying. I'm not keeping it in here. "I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation." From others. Do we conceal the loving kindnesses toward us from God, from one another? Or do we openly share with one another? Do we declare God's faithfulness and salvation and loving kindness and truth with one another? See, it is impossible for the dead to do this. Only the living can do this. So let's go one some more to Psalm 88. And let's see the fourth of these four verses. And let's read verse 12. Psalm 88 and verse 12. "Shall your wonders be made known in the darkness?" It's different back there in verse 10. Where it talks about it, it says, "Will you show wonders to the dead?" And this one says, "Shall your wonders be made known in the dark?" First is just pointing them out. Here is, are they going to be explained? Are they going to be made known? Are they going to understand how great you are? It's not a repeat of, why don't you talk about wonders two different times? Because he's talking about from two different points of view. One is just pointing them out. One is explaining them. Make them known. Are they going to be made known in the dark? And the answer is, of course not. They're dead. Dark doesn't understand. and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? And the answer is, of course not. A couple of different ways of looking at this. God's wonders are to be made known, and the dead cannot do that. It's only the living that can do that. And another point here is God's righteousness is to be made known. And the dead cannot do that. It's only the living that can do that. So let's take a look at a couple of verses to just go along with the way I've been doing the others. Psalm 77, verse 14. Psalm 77 and verse 14. You are the God that does wonders. There's a God that does all these incredible wonders. You're that God. That's who you are. You are the God that does wonders. You have declared your strength among the people. And then the living are to be making them known, telling them about Him, telling others about the wonders of God, and then making them known, explaining them, explaining how awesome God is, declaring your strength among the people. That's what it's doing. As we make known, as we expound upon these greatnesses, these wonders of God. The dead cannot do that. Go with me at one more place here in this context. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 24. 1 Chronicles 16, 24. Declare His glory among the heathen. Those, you know who the heathen are? The non-believers. Everybody who's not part of the body of Jesus Christ in this context are considered as the heathen. There are a lot of good people who are heathen by this definition. They're just eating of the wrong tree. They're eating of the good side, but there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's all one tree. They're eating maybe on the good side of the wrong tree, but they're still the wrong tree. They still don't know. And so it says, declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. God's wonders are to be made known, and God's righteousness is to be made known. And here are a couple of verses. There are others. There are lots of others. But it says that we are to be declaring God's glory among those who don't know the glory of God, who do not know God. And we are to be declaring God's marvelous works among, it says, all the nations. Everyone is to be told. The dead cannot do this. Only the living. So in Psalm 88, verses 9 through 12, four short, simple verses, whenever you actually think about them and just read the words, we can see, I believe, just happened to be, I don't pick numbers. I just wrote them down from what was in the things, but there are seven things here. One is, God is to be called upon daily. And the dead cannot do that. Number two, God's wonders are to be shown to others. The dead cannot show it to others, nor be shown. Number three, God's people will arise and praise God. The dead cannot do that. Number four, God's loving kindness will be declared. Dead cannot do this either. Number five, God's faithfulness will be declared. Nope. Dead cannot do that either. Number six, God's wonders will be made known. They will be explained. And it shows the greatness of God. And the dead can't do that either. And number seven, God's righteousness will be made known. It will be explained. It will be broadened. And it says very plainly, it will be declared to all the nations. And I don't think anyone in the grave can do that either. I don't think the dead can do that. These things cannot be done by those who are dead. They can be, and they are to be done among the living. And it's obvious, at least it seems obvious to me, doing this study and putting this together, and I don't know, maybe you could say, well, you forced some things. Well, maybe I did. I'm okay with it. If I forced anything, I'm okay with what I forced. Those without knowledge of God cannot do these things. So let me back up and clarify what I have just said. The dead, those that are in the grave, as David rightly points out, he says, God, I want to do these things. I will continue. I will do these things, extend my life. I've been doing them, I want to do them, and I will do them. Extend my life. Because he understood, if you're physically dead, you cannot do anything. The dead know not anything, and David comprehended that. And so the physically dead cannot do these things. Well, it also becomes very clear to me, those who do not have the knowledge of God, they cannot do these things either. So it's not just being alive are the ones who can do it. It's those who are alive with the knowledge of God. Those are the only ones who can do these things. The living are those who are the sons and daughters of God the Father. It's a unique group of people. The living are those who are the body of Jesus Christ. The living are those who love the Lord their God with all their heart and with all their being. That's the living. And anyone who is dead, who is physically in the grave, they cannot. And anyone who may be breathing above ground, who do not have the knowledge of God, they cannot do it either. It is only those who are part of, limiting it here at this point, those who are part of the body of Jesus Christ that can do these things. But there's still another limit. And I come to that quickly. Earlier in the sermon, I made the statement, and I quote from my own sermon earlier, there is a time coming when we will not be able to praise and celebrate God. That is something we can all agree on. And that's when we're dead. That's when we're in the grave. Because you see, we are not those living who do not have the knowledge of God, who cannot declare these things. We have these things. And we can declare these things. We are not at this place right now. We can be praising and celebrating God now as we are not in the grave. So with this in mind, a question for all of us is simple. Are we? Are we? Are we praising and celebrating God now? Or are we maybe just a little spiritually dead? If we're doing these things, if we are truly praising and celebrating God, great. God is being praised and God is being celebrated because somebody is going to be doing it. And if we're doing it, and if you're doing that, then that's great. If, on the other hand, we are not really praising and celebrating God, then we need to repent. We need to repent, and we need to begin to truly be doing so, praising and celebrating God. Because, see, we're not physically dead, and we do have the knowledge. And so if we are at that place, we are either doing it or we're not doing it. And if we're doing it, then that's great. And if we're not doing it, then is it because we may be somewhat spiritually dead? I pray that God will let us be a group of collected people who are known as people who praise and celebrate our awesome Father. I hope you pray that also. I hope that we pray that God will let us do that, that we will be a people who praise God and who celebrate God. I want to close with the reading of two separate passages. Both are in the book of Psalms. One is in Psalm 115 and verse 17. Psalm 115 and verse 17. And it says, "The dead praise not the Lord." And that could be dead physically or spiritually. "Neither any that go down into silence." And the one I want us to focus on, and let it be us, is Psalm 109 and verse 30. Psalm 109 and verse 30, and it says, "I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise him among the multitude." Amen. Let it be us. And the Aaronic blessing. "Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." God bless you.